5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Odyssey, Rockfin, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support. Speaking of Iconic, if you're interested, you can check the link in the description and get yourself 10 free days over there. Try it out before you buy it. They are doing like the Netflix of alternative media. Of course, it's got all of David Icke's stuff. But it's more than that. They're doing original content, weekly shows, movies. Obviously, they've had a home for macroaggressions there since we started. So we love the Ikes. We're appreciative of that. So if you're interested in checking it out, please just click the link, get yourself 10 days, see what you think. I think you'll like it. Also to our sponsors, Chemical Free Body. Look, man, if 2022 is the year that you are finally going to do something and get yourself in shape and get yourself ready to go, go and check out chemicalfreebody.com/macro because they put me through the detox in a box last year and it cleaned me out good, man. It's like 90 days. It's they'll send you a couple bottles of pills and some green 85 drink that you just mix up. I'm telling you from personal experience, it works. If you go to that landing page, chemicalfreebody.com/macro, you can see like a 2-minute video I did that shows like my pants don't fit. It didn't fit after that. I lost a lot of weight. I wasn't trying to lose weight. I'm fucking anorexic almost as it is. So I didn't need it, but that's what it did. So if you are so inclined, go there, check it out. Use the promo code macro on your way out to save yourself a little bit of money. And good Lord, man, if it's not fucking red, white, and blue flashing lights, obvious that there's supply chain issues and that these maniacs are probably trying to starve us out. you might want to be a little bit more proactive than reactive on this one. If you are interested in getting yourself some food so that you can survive this coming nuclear hellscape, go to My Patriot Supply. They built us a landing page called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can get discounts on 4 weeks supplies of food, on 3 months supplies of food as well. They've got water filtration, air purification. They've got seeds. They've got all kinds of crazy camping stuff out there. So if you're so inclined, you can go to our website, preparewithmacroaggressions.com, do your shopping that way, save yourself some money. But if you don't use our sponsors, just start thinking about this stuff, get proactive, get out there. You don't want to be the last guy in aisle four trying to fight some lunatic for a bag of rice or the last container of top ramen, you know? Jesus Christ, you don't want to do that. All right, well, now that we got the business out of the way, let's get down to, I don't know what this is going to be. I've got the guys from Hidden in Plain Sight here with me, Perry and Brandon. And if you guys are unfamiliar with this show, you got to take my word for it. Okay, listen. You got to take my word for it and at least check it out. Guys, what's going on? Nice to meet you. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, doing all right.
Well, would it be fair to classify your show as, I don't know, maybe not for everybody?
We've tried actually reaching out to put something beyond the explicit tag, like on our show, because I still get, like, we have tried to preface our show with, like, look, it gets a little out there and it's not for everyone. So know that going in, but it's all in good fun. We joke. We have our laughs.
Some way to put it is not for
sometimes
everyone.
At the expense of others. But, yeah. You know, all in good fun.
Like, there was an episode that you guys did. I've been going back through their back catalog and just watching like every episode. It is totally addicting. There's an episode where you guys contemplated the very real possibility that you might get...
We lost audio on you.
Oh, can you hear me now? I'm talking. No?
Did you lose audio?
Uh-oh.
We lost.
We're having technical...
What happened there? Huh.
They're trying to make sure they can hear me. But we're going to get this all for you. So I'll keep talking, because while they're figuring out their technical difficulties, I'm going to tell you that this show is, it's the two of them sitting around. You know what really kind of connected with me was the fact that it reminded me of like what me and my friends would do when we would sit around on the couch watching TV and commenting the whole time. So the show is phenomenal. It's off the charts. I think everybody needs to check it out. But if you have sensitivities to this sort of stuff, if you don't like, the F word or the like, then we'll just consider this to be your sort of, warning. You've been warned. But when Tony Merkel, my partner on this show, he's the one who said, hey, you might want to check this out. These guys are doing something that's hysterical. So what I did was I listened to an episode while I was out cleaning the garage. It was so funny that I wound up getting hooked on it. I've listened to several episodes, and then now I've reached out to them and said, I'd love to have you guys on the show just so we could get into some nonsense. In fact, one of the first shows that I watched with them was the show where they had Alex Stein on. And if you are familiar, I've done some shows with Alex before, so we had a little bit of crossover there.
Audio's back.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Jesus.
No problem. And I was talking while you guys were working out the kinks. And one of the things I was saying was that you guys had Alex Stein on, and
Primetime 99. Yes, indeed.
All the time. Yes. he's the Andy Kaufman of our generation. He's a he's a national treasure. He should be protected at all costs. And he has found himself a nice little niche with parachuting in via Zoom to these city council meetings and then doing some performance art. And it is simultaneously cringy for, you know, the people that you know are watching it that don't understand what he's doing. And it is hysterical to me. So I find your man, 99 primetime Alex Stein all the time. Put it in me, douse me with hand sanitizer, all of that shit. I love it. I just did a 3-hour episode with him on a show called Abs in the Six Pack, where we did 9/11 3-hour episode, and it just went nice. Off the rails.
Yeah. Nice.
As it does with Alex, you know.
Oh, yeah. The episode we did with Alex, I don't think we, the three of us said not a single word before we turned on the mics. We just turned on the mics and was like, that was the episode. Like,
well, that's kind of what I wanted to do with you guys, because I knew that if we started talking in advance that we'd wind up bullshitting and I'd say, oh man, I should hit the record button on that. So but what I was saying before your audio cut out was that you guys have almost, you were contemplating the idea that it would be, that you thought it was a very real possibility and would also be simultaneously hilarious if you got thrown off of YouTube for being racist, but against other white people.
You know what's funny is I don't remember saying that, but that it sounds like something one of us would have said.
That sounds like something I'd come up with.
I think it was something you said that was like, we're going to get thrown off for being racist, but it's going to be because we're fucking with white people. And that, because, you know, I mean, look, I mean, you don't know me, but like, when I got fresh out of college, my buddies and we all lived in Hermosa Beach, and we would just go to, when Halloween rolled around, it was like, all right, showtime. And on two different occasions, we did the same crew and the same concept, but we mixed it up with different uniforms and everything. But we went out and ordered ourselves full basketball uniforms for our whole group of team. And we were the Honkies, and we rolled out to a bar, several bars, dressed as the Honkies with a straight face. You know, like, that was the point, was that we're just going to play it straight as far as we could. And we did it on a couple different occasions. And I remember being in line to go to the bathroom at Cowboy Boogie in like Anaheim or someplace, you know, and there's one black guy in the whole place. He's in line behind me to take a piss. And I kind of like look over at him, and he's standing there and he's trying to cover his, I said, dude, it's okay, you can laugh. And he just burst out laughing. He's like, man, that is the funniest shit I've ever seen. So you guys were calling people honkies and white devils.
Oh yes, cracker ass crackers.
Yeah, crackers. Yeah. So I appreciate that for sure. But yeah, that would be a real, that'd be a real feather in your cap to get a YouTube strike for racism.
That's definitely not gonna be for lack of trying. We're definitely putting in the effort.
Yes. We're it's not for lack of effort. I'm sure it must have been a brother Bobby Hemmett, for those who aren't in the know. I'm sure it was probably one of those episodes where we got down to it, because he has some choice words for the white man.
Look, white people just might be the devil, and that's just all there is to
it. Oh, there's no might in Bobby Hemmett's world. Look, my boy. He is very explicit.
So that's how it is, know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I liked the episode where he had been, you guys were in like hour six, and he had been drinking from some sort of, I don't know, like a chalice or something. I don't know.
Not even. Yeah. It was
a crock pot.
Yes, it was a crock pot. So Brother Bobby, in all his lectures, he has this ritual where he takes gallons of hard liquor. It's like what you would do when you're in high school and everyone's just trying to scrounge together booze.
Hell yeah.
He takes these gallons of hard liquor and he just pours them all in a communal crock pot while chanting the names of, I think, Japanese car manufacturers,
Nissan,
or something.
Toyota.
Nissan, Toyota, Mitsubishi, Blanca from Street Fighter.
Netflix. But
yeah, he pours it all in and then enjoys the libations, as he describes them. But the problem is, when you speak for 10 hours, it means you're also getting shit-faced drunk for 10 hours. And by the end of those lectures,
he's leaning. He's leaning on the table. I'd have been dead, frankly.
He's doing the live Captain Morgan.
Yes, we call it speaking in cursive, which is at a certain point, his words just start to blend. They just all entire sentences are blended into one word.
Yeah. He must have the Lord in him to be able to stand up after drinking that much. During 6 hours, he went on for 10. I haven't gotten to the part where it's, I don't even know if there is a part. Maybe it's in the Patreon, by the way. You guys have a great Patreon for those that are interested. It's a $3 Patreon and people should check it out. And like, let's be honest, this is how you're going to support this sort of content, because I have a feeling that this, I don't know, maybe isn't going to wind up on the one of the major television network shows.
Yeah, we're not exactly advertiser friendly is what we've been told, but
CNN will put in enough. Yeah, I'm sure.
So we do rely on the fine listeners to help support us. patreon.com/hiddeninplainsightpod.
Yeah,
for $3 you get hundreds of hours,
and I think a lot of people will love your show. However, I could think of two people in particular that are probably not big fans, and that would be David Wilcock and Jack Murphy.
This audience
knows who David Wilcock is. I mean, I think we all have a healthy dose of hatred. Well, I don't have hatred, but he's a bit of a cartoon character.
He's a dork. He's a dork.
He's
easy to bully.
He is. Can we talk about what's going on with him, his physical appearance these days? Because is he transitioning?
So he did in his last live stream. He made some weird reference at the very beginning because people were making fun of his hair, because he has what I would call clinical depression hair, which is like he is just not showered or taking care of himself. His shirt is a fucking wrinkled mess.
Yeah, it looks like a rain cloud should be following him around.
He only reads the negative comments in chat, which is hilarious. And people were obviously talking about the fact that he looked like he just got fucked at a truck stop and then decided to turn his camera on. And his hair, he said his hair was his like manifestation of his identity, like a trans person.
What? Which,
well, what the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know.
There's some personal things going on behind the scenes that I'm privy to via some people who are close to his wife, and his divorce is not going well for him. I can say that. And I think it was abundantly clear in the last video we saw where he took 5 months off, came back, and what we saw was it looked like him in the back of a laundromat trying to put together a live stream to cover his rent.
Yeah, it did. It was
brutal.
It was brutal. Yeah. Is that the Gaia curse, do you think?
Yes, I do. For those not in the know, David Wilcock did pen a letter when he left Gaia stating that everyone there was Luciferian because they wouldn't let him cover Q. And then I think he also faked a few more assassination attempts. The man's breaks, according to him, have been cut like 7 or 8 times.
Yeah,
I think that was by shitty cars.
This is in one book.
Yeah. So, but no, ever since he and his butt buddy Corey Good have split up, David has quickly spiraled out of control and his wife Beth is only expedited.
Yeah, process. It's accelerated in the last like 6 months for sure. It was a slow burn. Now it's been quite a steep fall.
It got so bad. We've been making fun of the man since episode 50 of our show. We are on 230 something now.
Yeah.
It got to a point where when we saw him in the episode we did this week, and part two is going to be out this weekend, we actually had to have a conversation where it's like, do we need to back off on this? Because at a certain point, like, we're not just goofing on a guy who's saying silly things. We might actually just be making fun of someone in the middle of a true psychiatric break.
Well, we definitely are. That hair was concerning, but yeah, we decided to keep going nonetheless.
Yes. And like, you know, like true gentlemen, we decided for the sake of the entertainment, it's crucial we keep pushing.
We're not
the show must go on.
Yeah. We're not going to let his mental breakdown go to waste.
Yes.
No. No, this is just documenting the, you know, reporting live from the apocalypse, sort of.
Yes. And, you know, he's had some choice words for us. And anytime someone has words for us, we like to respond in kind. The difference is we're a bit meaner. So,
yeah,
if he wants to toss his little barbs.
Not in the live chat. You're not. You guys are extremely supportive of his work. I noticed when you're like,
yes,
those
yes,
haters. You're in there like saying, I wish those haters at Hidden in Plain Sight weren't bothered. They're terrible. You guys, you're the best, David. And it's you.
I fucked up my own bit. We got so bored with David by the end of the live stream. The whole thing was I was going to do that for 3 hours and then obviously post a link to our episode. And by the end, I was so fucking just, he's like a brain eating amoeba. Like
he's an energy vampire. Yeah. Energy vampire.
He slips into your brain and just slowly erodes whatever synapses you had left at the beginning of the live stream. And I forgot to plug. So it came across as me just actually supporting David for 3 hours.
Well, look, you have to have that skill if you're going to push blue chickens and Q and all of that. I mean, if you don't know how to turn off somebody's brain preemptively, yeah, then you're never going to be able to sell that line of horseshit. And that was like, they had like comic books and like a whole plan for this blue avian horseshit. And my friend, the late, great Kev Baker and I would just taking shots at him for years and years. I mean, not in the way that you guys did it, because you literally bring up the video and you just walk everyone through play by play like John Madden with a fucking telestrator. You're just over here, this guy's gonna get a seal here, he's gonna lose his hair here, this, you're gonna see some insanity over here. I mean, it's fucking fantastic. And I thought Kev and I were taking him out back, but then I saw your show and I was like, oh, this is really how it's done. So I don't think you guys are giving yourself enough credit is what I'm trying to say.
We've, you know, the thing about the show is what we're doing is actually just what we've always been doing. We just didn't do it on camera before. So our David Wilcock mocking goes back to essentially us in high school.
Yeah,
and it was only within the last 2 years we decided like... Maybe other people might enjoy this.
Well, that's part of the reason why I connected with your show so much is because when I graduated from college, a bunch of us moved out. We all got a place together and we would just sit around, you know, like on the couch and everything and watch whatever we were watching. And it was just the peanut gallery chirping in. And we had one of my roommates was hysterical. I mean, we all were, you know, able to participate in this event, but one guy was light years ahead of everyone. And we would just crumple. I mean, the show, we wouldn't even know what the show was about by the time we got done. It was just us chiming in. So when I saw what you guys were doing, it felt very familiar to me, you know, like it's mean to people that just kind of are asking.
Deserve it. Yeah. It's a fine line we tread where my one rule with Space Weirdo Fridays, as we call it, all those people, the David Wilcox, Corey Goods, Bobby Hemmets, all those folks, Gary Spivey, we don't want to actually be making fun of people who are unaware of what they're doing, people who truly are suffering from some sort of debilitating mental illness. Based on the conversations I've had with former Gaia employees and people who used to be part of Corey's Kids, which is the Corey Good hit group, the propaganda network that
it's
Corey
used. Really the only thing it sounds like,
yeah,
Corey's
to,
Kids.
Sounds to try like a court and case. Silence the haters. Based on all the conversations I've had with these people, I think we have picked targets who deserve to be knocked down a peg.
They're asking for money. It's the common thread. They're all being ridiculous and they're asking for money. And so like, it's like, you guys wouldn't just pick on some random person who was like, actually, you know, there's actually something wrong with him, but Corey Good, David Wilcock, Gary Spivey. Gary fucking Spivey.
I don't even know what to make of Gary Spivey. We're new to him and I cannot for the life of I spent 3 hours last weekend trying to prove his hair is fake. I cannot prove it's fake. I know it's fake, but the man has not slipped up in four decades of being a public figure. He has never slipped up with his hair. It's like, almost impressive.
It's like Kiss back when they had the makeup on.
Yes, he's the Gene Simmons of psychics. It's been said a million times before.
For those that don't know, you've got to just Google Gary Spivey and you'll see, or people can go check out your episode called Gary Spivey's Dope White Afro, and they can see I remember seeing that name going, this has got to be good. I mean, I don't even know what's going on. And then you see this guy and you're like, hang on a second, this can't be real. And then he's listing off all of the like famous Vegas people that he's friends with, and he's like, oh yeah, I used to go hang out with Siegfried and Roy or whatever, and you're
Robin Williams.
I mean right? Like his whole first episode is just him, like there's a literal party going on downstairs.
The first one we covered to him, he was just like upstairs drinking while there was a banquet going on downstairs. The man's like a multimillionaire. And it infuriates me that he's rich and we're doing this from our apartment.
No, it gives me hope.
No, you guys,
if he can do it, anyone can.
Yeah.
I feel like he, you know, he just found his lane. His lane is he's
lying.
His lane is cosmic lying. Yeah. Lying to white liberal women that have more money than common sense that want to give him money.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes. The white woman. We'd like
still 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Brandon. You're right, man. In your assessment of it being. Yeah. It's only white people. Only white people call psychics.
It's white women and gay men.
Yes, there was two categories. One outlier was a gay Asian.
But I called that one in advance, too.
Yes, he did.
I called both of them in advance.
Brandon, his partner was so disappointed that he was calling. His gay partner was like kind of off behind him. And he was just like.
he was trying to shrink into the shadows.
Yeah, but he was like, listen, I just want to know, like, how do you see the stars and me moving forward with this new business venture? And Gary Spivey's like, let me tell you about it. I mean, I am conflicted. Because on the one hand, this is criminality, right? But on the other hand, if you can get you're really not hurting anybody that isn't asking to be hurt by giving away their own money.
Right.
And if you can, it's like it's revelation of the method, sort of, right? But on a psychic, if you take one look at Gary's fucking Spivey or Miss Cleo for that matter, whatever, and that screams authenticity to you and you want to give them your money, then it's kind of on you at that point, I would think. So
agree.
I mean, it's not really any different than OnlyFans.
Yeah, I think we kind of try and categorize these people into the harmful and harmless category. And I think Gary's harmless.
These are like the off chance he's right.
Where other people are pushing certain agendas. I mean, David used to be in the harmless category. He's kind of transitioned into being a bit harmful,
mostly to himself at this point.
Oh, he's transitioning, all right.
The hair proves it.
Not with that hair.
Yeah, this is it's a weird industry. This online psychic, and I think that you guys have found this niche market where you can get the Bobby Hemmets of the world. He's an interesting one though, because he's not really a psychic.
No.
No, he's, Brother Bobby just rules.
Oh, he definitely rules.
Hell yeah.
So can we get Bobby Hemmets is a black gentleman. And this in his videos are from the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I guess
operating now? Like, do we know? Is he still going?
I think he's dead. He has a Patreon, but
from the grave.
Yes, from beyond the grave. Donate your Bitcoin to the ghost the Lord of Bobby Hemmets.
Mysterious ways. Hey, holy shit.
Just because the corporeal form ceases to exist doesn't mean you don't need Bitcoin.
Yeah, still kind of unsure as to whether or not he's alive or not at the moment.
I think it might be a family member running the Patreon. At least that's kind of what I get. But the mile high view of Bobby Hemmets is he's the master of all things dark and deadly, as he would like to say about himself. And he the reason we love him so much is a lot of the conspiracy space is filled with people repeating the same tired bullshit over and over again. You can tune into a million shows and hear the same people saying the same thing about the same shit.
Yeah.
We don't want that. We want...
Sick of the hits.
Let me give you an example. Bobby, in one of the episodes we did, his theory was that the white man had made underwear tight to squeeze on the, as he put it, the tallywhacker of the black man in order to give them prostate cancer.
Yes.
The drawers is a conspiracy you will hear out of no mouth other than Bobby.
Yes. Brother Bobby is the most original conspiracy theorist we've ever come across.
Yes. That, he is true genius.
Have we been able to prove that he is wrong about that?
No.
That's a very good point.
That's what also makes him fun is he's bright occasionally. He actually will make a salient point every now and then.
Yes.
When he's not drinking
blackout drunk
or spilled with random alcohol.
Well, I don't know if that's part of the, like, if that's necessary for him to be salient every now and then.
Yes, so I'm it's not part gonna... of his ritual.
Yeah.
You gotta commune with the spirits on that higher plane.
I don't want to question his formula. He's the shaman.
Yeah. Bobby Hemmett is it looks like when you watch his show, it looks like something you might have found like on late night TV, like an infomercial style thing. Bobby Hemmett as an infomercial guy, would that have been, that could have been a better good fit.
Him QVC would have sold a lot of products back in the day.
I mean, he's definitely
sense, but
it would have been entertaining.
He's 100% trying to get laid every lecture though.
That's so like favorite.
He's very persuasive.
Yes. He consistently slips in little things for the ladies throughout his lectures, increasingly so as he gets drunker. But yes, Bobby is constantly looking to fuck. And, you know, who can blame him? The man's a prophet. I suppose a prophet's got to fuck, too.
Look, when he's up there doing it, it's pretty hard to be like, I did that.
Yeah.
Well, what I found really interesting was that sometimes he would lose his place, you know, as you do after in the sixth hour, after lots of alcohol, and he would lose his place. And then the audience would help him out. And they would, he would say like, now, where was I with this concept? And they would chime out like, we were talking about, Oh yeah. They knew where he was going with everything. Like they had a deep understanding of what he was talking about. I needed subtitles. I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about at all, but they seemed like maybe that wasn't the first time they'd sat through a Bobby Hemmett show.
Right. So I think part of it is we jumped into Bobby Hemmett because I discovered there's like a whole world of black conspiracies I was just completely unaware of.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know anything about the Boule Society or any of that stuff until within the last like year or so. So we started out listening to him because of that and then obviously stayed for the phenomenal showman he is. He's the James Brown of space weirdos, hardest working man.
He's honestly black Alex Jones.
Yeah,
that's a fair way to describe him.
Damn, that's a great point. He is Black Alex Jones.
Yeah.
He just didn't get on the vitamin train. Yeah. He needed vitamins.
Yes, he needed some iodine. And
he needed vitamin D.
Yeah.
But he was trying to give away vitamin D.
Oh, he was definitely.
I think he succeeded. I mean, if I remember correctly, I think didn't his grandma have like 27 kids or some shit?
Yeah, he came from a ridiculous.
He came
family.
From a gigantic family, so I think the procreation runs in the genes.
Yeah,
the primal desire to spread his prophet seed.
Well, there's a lot of that whole avenue of prophets and talking about obscure things. I love it all. I'm interested for I'm down for a good documentary on some weird stuff. And I remember early on enjoying a good Project Camelot video too.
Oh, shout Carrie Cassidy, Queen of Space Weirdo Friday. We just did an episode on her too.
But Carrie Cassidy is an interesting. Is the serious question, is there a conspiracy out there that Carrie Cassidy doesn't fully believe and endorse wholeheartedly?
Ooh, All right. So as a listener of Project Camelot for a very long time, there are rare occasions where Carrie Cassidy will actually push back on an interviewer or interviewee, rather. Mm-hmm. So I think the problem is she believes Mark Richards, Captain Mark Richards, the head of Space Command, who's in jail for brutally bludgeoning a man to death. She believes his story above all others. So anything that contradicts the wonderful murderer Mark Richards puts her in an interesting place to where she has to defend him. So she's pushed back on certain things. I've actually heard her push back on someone who is preaching just like purely racist ideology, which, you know, good for Carrie. But I think we've called her the most credulous person on the internet, the most gullible. Like she believes everything. No matter what you tell her, she believes it.
Yeah, she's the multiverse of the conspiracy universe because she just has everything incorporated.
There was an episode with someone called Utsava the Psychic Patriot.
Oh, I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that's what I was listening to before I realized that I was listening to that episode before I realized that there was a video version of your show. And that actually made me. I had to that once I was like, I have to go back and watch because I need to see what Utsava looks like and all that stuff. Cause it is, you guys do a very good job of painting the picture for the audio listeners, but it's hard to describe some of these freaks.
I would be able to describe Gary Spivey. You have to see him.
Oh my God. Well, I listened to that one too. And then I had to go watch it. And I was like, but while I was listening to it, I had to look up on my phone, Gary Spivey. I was like, get the fuck out of here with his hair. But what is Captain Mark Richards? What's his story that Carrie Cassidy bought into? Like, not the story of why
he's in jail
for the rest of his life, but
yeah.
Okay. Well, I got to include the prison briefly because it does play a role in this. Mark Richards inspired two young individuals. He wasn't the one who actually committed the hit. He got two individuals who worked for his construction company, and he convinced them that they were going to become the Pendragon Society. In this society, they were going to take over Marin County in California. And the way they were going to do this is they were going to put some sort of Doctor Doom-esque laser on top of a mountain, and then they were going to shoot down the Golden Gate Bridge using said laser, thus separating Marin County from the lower portion of California. I suppose he didn't know planes existed, but, you know, details. Yeah. So what he claims is that during the murder, he was actually not on the planet Earth at the time.
Oh, I'm sure his defense attorney was like, we can't use this. This is not going to work, Mark.
I'm surprised his defense attorney didn't Arba Dwyer himself. If my client tells me, like, look, I was on Venus when this happened, I'm swallowing the business end of a shotgun immediately because there's no way you're winning that case.
Honestly, he was probably so guilty, his lawyer was probably like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? Let's give it a shot.
But yes,
can't be any worse than the actual story.
So I believe Mark ultimately said he was set up by the Reptoids. He agreed to go to prison. And the reason he says he can't escape prison, despite the fact that he has a sentient spaceship that he may or may not have a love connection with, named Minerva.
We're pretty sure he has sex with this car.
He is heavily implied he has had sexual relations with a space shuttle. Yes. He says he can't escape because it would put his family in danger, but he is still capable of astral projecting out of the prison, Vacaville County Prison in California. Mm-hmm. And he continues to carry out missions for the global elite and the Secret Space Force. He's pretty much the head honcho of the Secret Space Force. Now, the problem is we've learned that a lot of the plots for his tall tales come directly from the Sci-Fi Channel. In fact, on the Patreon, some movie watch-alongs we've done, like Planet Raptor, the plot is verbatim, pretty much. He Yes. So at a certain point, we discovered he had quite literally just been reading science fiction novels and watching science fiction movies, taking those storylines, and then he feeds them to Carrie Cassidy, who then serves as the mouthpiece to the outside world.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What a grift.
It's a hell of a grift. And his wife, speaking of that, she gets to go on the speaking circuit as, you know, the wife of a hero. And they make a tidy sum.
A hero that's in prison for bludgeoning somebody, right?
Yep. Bludgeoned a man to death. And then my favorite part, I gotta get this in, is he took the guy's money. And then the very next day after the murder, he takes that money and buys a boat.
Hell yeah.
He did not allow the money to sit for a single second.
No.
He took that man's marked bills and purchased a yacht so he could throw his body off of it.
So, like, instead of watching Sci-Fi Channel, he should have mixed in a little A&E, some Bill Curtis.
Yes.
He would have known that you don't ever do that. You know,
a little Discovery ID, maybe some true crime podcasts.
I bet the Bloods in the prison only let him watch Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
He doesn't want to fight for the remote.
Yeah, Vacaville. That's gladiator school, man. You'll get your ass kicked. What a fucking trip, man. And so Carrie Cassidy, that's, so she's working off of compromised source material. I think that's putting it nicely.
Very nicely.
But what is the explanation for her? I guess best be described as 1980s porn quality video stuff that she's done.
We honestly don't know. It's so sad. Maybe we theorize it might be to cover up for the fact that her face is falling apart.
Right.
So you want to keep it 480p.
That's another little thing to throw in there is about, I think, part 8 or 9 of her series with Mark Richards. She describes that she was on the way to Vacaville prison, but unfortunately the deep state intervened and she was hit with a scalar weapon that paralyzed half her body. Now, to anyone with any degree of medical knowledge, you would know that is Bell's palsy and she should have gone to a doctor.
Yep.
She did not do that. So ever since then, half her face looks like fucking droopy dog.
Yeah.
And she blames scalar weapons for it.
Not the stroke she had.
She also lost a ton of money. There was a psychic, Sean David Morton, I believe is his name. He was saying, you know, using his psychic abilities, he would be able to garner a lot of money on the stock market. And Carrie Cassidy being what's assumed to be a trust fund kid, she had a lot of money for no apparent reason. She lost, I think, $115,000 with that guy at a time when she could not afford to lose $115,000. And ever since then, her production quality has taken a dip.
Yeah.
There were like 2 episodes where it was solid. And then after that, it was back to like a 11-year-old making Minecraft videos on YouTube.
Yeah, I love that you guys were like, we can turn up the heat on David Wilcock now because we know he's not going to sue us because he's making videos asking for money so he can pay his taxes.
Yeah. Oh, we did a whole episode on his taxes. I talked to people.
I know.
Yeah.
You have a bright future in tax accounting.
Yeah. I've got connections in certain areas and I asked those people to look over his taxes. And the funny thing is when we did the divorce episode and the subsequent tax episode, we got a ton of fucking hate. Like, how could you guys possibly say this shit? None of this is true. You guys are just lying for views. Well, I kindly like to ask those people to suck our collective dick because we were right. We were 100% fucking right. So I expect thousands of apologies. I demand them. They must come and kiss my feet for doubting me.
Well, look, man, that he's run there. This is all like, if it isn't a gigantic grift, it's grift adjacent. Like it's so close to it that you can't act surprised, but there's this one, like I said, it's the one common theme. It's all these people are trying to ask for money. They're trying to sell some sort of unusual program, you know, like maybe a program where they teach you to be more manly and then they get caught. I mean, the least manly thing in the world.
You mean fucking yourself in the ass? Yeah, with a dildo.
Yourself in the ass with a dildo,
and then selling it online for Chatterbait tokens. Yeah, hypothetically speaking. So no one could be that dumb.
So Jack Murphy ruined his career. Yes.
Oh, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, it's
and,
over.
And it wouldn't be like you wouldn't be piling on, except that he had a problem with you guys.
Right. So we did a trilogy of episodes on him and
George Lucas, man.
we felt the trilogy was fitting. But for those, I guess Brandon's more fit to say how this started because you were actually there.
Well, yeah, it started because of an episode of You Are Here where he had a bit of a meltdown.
He
had a moment.
Let me preface this by saying that you are, as Perry describes it, the star of You Are Here with Elijah Schaefer and Sidney Watson, found on Blaze TV. But what is your title? Are you producer?
Yeah, producer.
Producer. Okay. Yeah, it's a great show, by the way. And thank I like you. I think that those are like, I think you guys do a good job of like having real conversations that feel like real conversations. They don't feel like they're sponsored by Monsanto or some shit like that. So it comes across as well. So it's your connection to You Are Here that led to this. So now.
Yeah. Right. So that happened at the end of an episode. And then we did our rebuttal.
What happened, though, was you do a segment on your show called Super Chat. Where
we're reading supers. And then like she read one about it. Cuck article. Nobody knew what the fuck was going on. She read a second one, and then Jack flipped his shit and delivered the old fuck you heartfelt line, stormed away, and then it got worse from there.
Well, the reason it escalated to the point it did is because what a lot of people may not have realized is that was the last You Are Here episode before they went on their winter break.
Yeah.
So theoretically that no one was going to hear from anyone on the You Are Here side of things for two weeks.
We had like 2 weeks off.
So our first episode was actually, I would say by our standards, we were pretty fair. We just kind of wanted to get the story out there, explain what happened. And we didn't even cover it for the full episode. And then, because we had discussed that before the episode, where it was like, do we go full scorched earth here? Like, we don't want to fuck up his role as producer.
Yeah.
So let's reel it in. We'll just state the facts and go from there. Jack, being the big dumb fuck he is, then goes on Tim Pool.
I'm just going to say, for those that don't know, if you watch Tim Pool and you've seen the guy with the long beard that sort of like sawed off of the big dude with the long beard, that's Jack Murphy. So I don't know him or anything. I don't really know about
me neither.
Know him from seeing him on Tim Pool. That's really all I knew him from. And I thought he was like this big guy who's kind of like. I don't know if I would describe it as his angle or whatever, but he's like manly man. I'm going to show you how to be a man in a time where men are rare, and I can kind of help guide people. So I didn't inherently find anything nefarious about that. I didn't think of him as being, I didn't have an opinion of him one way or the other. But then I found out that there was an incident. And then I was like, okay, well, that's probably not good for branding, you know, if you're manly man thing. And then when I'm going through your episodes, then I got to this and realized that you guys were deeply involved in at least narrating this. And then I got that. Now I was like really interested in the whole thing. So.
Yeah. So what he went on the Temple episode, and what really set us up is he called basically everyone on You Are Here liars, which nothing we said was false. Nothing Sidney said was false. Yeah. Nothing Elijah chimed in on was false. And we don't take kindly to people calling us liars, because if there's one thing about this show, we are honest to a fault.
Yeah,
I think we are sometimes too honest to the detriment of our careers. But so when he did that, Brandon and I kind of looked at each other and we just agreed scorched earth.
We decided to let the dogs out.
We did part two was a full hour episode when it was found out he was a cuckold. So we just talked about the Harlem Globetrotters fucking his wife and Curly Neal spinning her on his fingers like a basketball.
Yeah.
And, passing her off the backboard. It was a little mean. And then the coup de grace was later that same night, after we had already recorded the episode. I was getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
And then news came across the wire. I see a picture that's it's burned in my mind, like the shadows after a nuclear blast.
Can never unsee it.
It was Jack Murphy shoving a dildo in his ass.
Yeah, riding a dildo.
And then we decided to do episode 3 because it had been well earned at that point. I think the irony of him coming out and calling us a liar for saying what we said, and the whole time he's supposed to be this manly man preaching Christian values and monogamy and all this shit, and it turns out he's a cuckold doing gay porn. You know, I'm not going to let an opportunity like that slide.
They never get another one. That is striking when the proverbial iron is hot. And
don't put the iron near Jack. He might shove it up his ass.
I mean, listen, this is this, so. Look, if sticking dildos up your ass is your thing, then that's your thing, and
go for it.
Like, nobody's going to teach you. Be you. The problem is when you profess to be basically the exact opposite of that.
Yes,
you
yes.
sell yes. that as an identity, as a concept, as a business opportunity. And then you are the exact, people can handle freaks and weirdos and things, people that are into other things that they're not into. We can handle that. It's the hypocrisy. Fuck, my last book is called Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards. So like, had I known this, it would have been an introduction to the book. You know what I mean? It's gold. So you guys like that scene in where they the Quentin Tarantino movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where they bring out the flamethrower at the end.
Yes,
I envision you just calmly putting on your flamethrower backpacks, getting it all tightened up, turning it on, and then episode 3 comes out, and it is just. I mean, I would say it was an ass reaming, but that would be a little too on the nose.
Yes, he did the ass reaming himself. But I think the hypocrisy thing really is what drives me so fucking insane. Because like you said, if you want to be a cuckold, if you want to shove dildos up your ass, I don't give a fuck. But the fact that you're pushing this public image where you're saying those things aren't OK and then you're doing them behind the scenes. Yeah. What the fuck kind of piece of shit human being are you to shame people for the things you're doing? Like, just own it.
Yeah.
Fucking own it.
And then to call you guys liars on top of that, he clearly had no idea who he was dealing with.
I think he might now. He did just put out an article the other day. I don't know if you saw that. His first return to a public forum since, funnily enough, on our YouTube, the trilogy, we titled it The Incident, and the title of his article is The Incident.
Yeah.
So he comes out and basically did what we told him he should have done, which is he owns up to the fact that he should have owned it ahead of time, which fair play to him. But the tone of the article still strongly suggests that he did not exactly learn a lesson. I think he learned a PR lesson. I don't think he learned a moral lesson.
Yeah, he learned he needed to cover himself.
Yes. Maybe blur out your face before you sit on a purple dildo.
Jesus. What a, I mean.
No, that's a fair summation. That about sums it up. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a trip though. So he was on the show. On You Are Here when things went wrong, is that like when people were
cutting in? It was a good show too. That was the worst part, is it was a good 2-hour show. It was a solid episode, and then 7 minutes has never gone so wrong before.
It was the very end of the episode. It was
literally the last 7 minutes,
and then him kind of getting oddly aggressive with Sydney when you're supposed to be this manly man, and he singles out the one woman in the room. when you're like a 6'5", 280 guy. Like it, the whole thing just felt wrong.
Yeah.
And Sydney actually did a pretty good takedown of him, too.
She made merch. She's good.
She was a bit more tactful than us, but tact is not exactly our tactic.
If they want tact, they're in the wrong place. They can go somewhere else for that.
That's someone else's job. Want
the opposite of tact, they can go to the Patreon and pay $3 a month for that.
Oh, that's tact-free.
That's
at the Patreon.
Totally tact-free. And then recently, well, I guess semi-recently, through the show, Rittenhouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had Kyle on. He was fun.
Yeah. What was that? I mean, I'll tell you what, the people that listen to my show, if they were to do a survey and ask them everything makes me insane, but the one thing that makes me insane, it would be the mainstream media. It's not even close. And the number that they did on that kid was so offensive to me. And I know that there could be, you know, like a case can be made that like, hey, maybe you shouldn't have been out there. I get that. But the fact that you had the vast majority of people believing that Kyle Rittenhouse murdered three black men that were only there protesting at Black Lives Matter and got this story all completely wrong is a testament to how gross the media was. And then when it came out, obviously, when he was found not guilty, it was tough for the left to swallow because they didn't. But also, they had been watching a different program than everybody else. So I thought he did a good job. I thought Kyle Rittenhouse did a good job of keeping his cool afterwards. He seems to be relatively measured. He's got a good sense of humor. And now he's going to own CNN. Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a cool. I like the kid. He was fun.
You know, I do have to cop to being one of those people. When the news initially broke, I bought into the mainstream narrative. I was completely fucking wrong.
Well, that's all they told you, though, was right. He had done all these things. And then when you dig into it, you go, well, yeah, if he had done all those things, then I'd have a different opinion, too. But then you find wait.
Right. So that was I really do credit that case with. I stopped watching the news altogether. I only read primary source documents for everything at this point. And that's really one of the cases that kind of precipitated that move, because I didn't understand how I could ingest news and have something so incredibly wrong. And then it finally kind of clicked with me, like, oh, they're lying to me. They're like bold-faced lies. They're not. Yeah. These aren't bending of the truth for the sake of propaganda. These are wholesale lies.
Yeah. And they would do things like say, well, he shot three people at a Black Lives Matter rally and everything. And they'd say, okay, well, I know why you're saying that. You're saying that to imply that, like, the people that he shot were there supporting Black Lives Matter. So therefore, they must have been black. But they never said, like, he shot three white guys at a Black Lives Matter. They just kind of left it intentionally vague and allowed people to run with that, oh, it must have been black people that he shot. And then it comes out and it's like, yo, everybody in this whole case, all the victims, all the people on trial, everybody's white.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And I think for the left, they were like, what? Like, even up until like the verdict was read, they're like, man, this is bullshit. You could shoot three black, but you can shoot three black people and nothing would ever happen. It's like, dude, they're white. And they're like, oh shit, really? They're white? Like, yeah. So but that's the,
and kudos to Kyle for he is a very well put together young man. If I were 18 and under that kind of scrutiny, I think I would have cracked pretty quickly. I don't think I could have stood up to something of that magnitude at that age.
Doesn't Elijah Schaefer have like a relationship with their family?
Yeah, Elijah knows the family, so he's been in contact with them for a while since it happened.
Yeah, that's and they trust, they have, there's some sort of like trust, like
yeah. He knows his mother pretty well. So
what a shitty thing to put, you know, for everyone to go through.
He's in good spirits though, and I'm sure he'll be doing some interesting stuff once he's got all that money.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. What's going on over at the Blaze? I like what they're doing over there. I used to think, talk about like media influence and whatnot. But when I was a lot younger, I used to think, maybe I was told this or I assumed it, that Glenn Beck was this far right lunatic. And then, you know, because he was on Fox and everything. And then like I didn't see him for a while. And then I see him back now, you know, doing all the stuff on The Blaze, and it's sort of in a different set. And I've been listening to him or watching him or everything. And I go, this guy sounds like really reasonable to me. He doesn't sound like an unhinged right-wing lunatic. He sounds like a very measured, thoughtful guy. Like what's going on over at The Blaze? It sounds like,
I mean, that's a good way to put it. He's kind of like Alex Jones if he was completely like G-rated, pretty much, is how I like to put it. Because Glenn, you know, he's calling stuff way before it happens. And I think he's been on the money a lot recently, but The Blaze is putting together, you know, nice little roster. The people there, we have fun.
Solid roster over
there. Yeah. Papa Glenn always has a new Bentley. So
nice. Good for him.
It's my inspiration in the morning when I walk in and see which $300,000 car is there. It's like, I can make it one day.
Something to aspire to.
Yeah. I'm going to get me a car like that soon enough. I won't be able to drive it.
Do they run everything out of Dallas?
Pretty much everything out of Dallas. There's a handful of shows that are remote, but for the most part, yeah, everything's out of Dallas. Nice. The studio where, what was it? It's like children's shows. It was Barney. Barney, they used to film there back in the day.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. We got Rush Limbaugh's mic, like gold-plated mic in a nice display. Glenn has his own like museum with like historical artifacts. Because that's like one of his hobbies is buying historical artifacts.
That's so fucking cool.
He's got some pretty fucking cool. He's got some pretty rad hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if someone was like, here, we're going to give you like just all the money in the world. Do whatever you want with it. I'd probably be into shit like that too.
Buy your own museum and cars.
But mine would be like sports memorabilia.
Yeah. His is like random, like, vintage movie memorabilia and then like historical artifacts.
Yeah, I think I probably have a bunch of like Lakers swag sitting around, a bunch of Kobe jerseys or something.
He's got the Ark of the Covenant down in the basement.
He might just don't tempt him. He's got a guy. That's how I know he like is deep in the scene, because he just has a dude who places the bids for him. It's awesome.
Oh shit.
Yeah,
I need a guy to place bids for me.
That's a power next level. Move. That's a power move. When you could just say like, I've got a guy.
Yeah, you just give him a number and then they like go figure it out.
Oh fuck, that's great. But to be fair, he's worked his ass off. I mean, he's been doing that shit for as long as I've been watching the news. I feel like our television. I've been seeing that guy's face on there like every single day. So it's not like he just won the lottery or anything. I mean, he's been busting.
Yeah, he's been around forever. I mean, he just had Dr. Robert Malone in a few days ago for a special. So he's flying in all the big names right now too. He's not afraid to talk to anyone. So,
oh, good. We had, I had Dr. Robert Malone on my group show, and we had Peter McCullough on too. We had Peter McCullough on the night that his Rogan episode came out. We thought if you want to cancel, it's fine. He's like, no. He's like, I said, I'll be there. We're like, oh, thank you, Peter. I mean, it was nice of him to show up. And like the whole, his phone was just blowing up. You know what I mean? When you go that guy, and then like everybody wants, it's like that started the whole thing of like Rogan's problems happened right after those two guys went on his show.
Yeah.
So Glenn's not getting blowback.
Nope.
I think Glenn is just so well known to be Glenn at this point that you can't.
He's well put together. He's got too good a reputation.
Right. Like you can't. Yeah. People know who he is at this point. He's been around long enough. His credentials are beyond established. It's hard to take a man like that down. Whereas with Rogan, you know, that he's not new, but compared to someone like a Glenn Beck, he's relatively new on the scene and in a relatively newer medium. And people are going to take that opportunity to try and undermine what it is that he's trying to do.
Yeah.
How long's Blaze been around?
I think Blaze has been around a little while. There was a merger a handful of years back, but it's been probably 5 or 6 years, somewhere around there, I'd like to say. I always forget the exact number.
How many shows are on there?
At this point, probably close to like 15 or 20. It's got a pretty good catalog built up.
Yeah. Well, look, the mainstream corporate horror media is dying. And people still want information. They just are going to have to train themselves to not just plop down in front of the TV and expect to find it on like ABC News or CNN or MSNBC or any of these outlets, because it's just propaganda at this point. So it's refreshing. Yeah. At least, you know, it's not to say that in everything that you're going to hear on Blaze or InfoWars or whatever is going to be honesty all the time, or the truth all the time, because there's so many moving parts. But at least if you feel like the organization is trying to get it right, they're in the pursuit of the truth, as opposed to these other institutions that, you know, are just trying new ways to package up lies to you, you know, you can give them the benefit of the doubt if they get something wrong or whatever. But
ultimately, the listener does have to bear some responsibility for being able to kind of parse through the information themselves. We can't, I don't think it's fair to hold the hosts of these shows necessarily fully culpable for the information they're putting out. Now, sometimes, you know, they're intentionally misleading, but in other cases, the listener's got a brain. You got to be able to take in the information and kind of digest it yourself and decide, okay, maybe this part's true. Maybe I need to do a little more research on this portion to solidify that. But I don't like this current trend, like with what's going on with Rogan, where they're like, Joe Rogan is a scary man who says bad things. It's like, no, he's having a conversation. You're free to disagree with that conversation. That should be the end of the story.
Yeah.
He's presenting a side. You can agree, you can disagree, you can be somewhere in the middle, but to attempt to shut down that type of conversation is an incredibly dangerous road to be going down.
But yeah, I mean, they released the numbers, and the Blaze subscribers are going through the roof. The amount of views and impressions the company's getting is in, like, I think we're like top 10, top 15 media networks, like, worldwide.
That's great. So, that's great.
Yeah, it's definitely on the up. We got some big things coming.
Well, tell people where they can find, first of all, the You Are Here show and then your shows.
You Are Here is just a YouTube channel. You Are Here, anywhere you want to get podcasts, You Are Here should be available.
Monday through Friday. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Yep, you know, there it is. He knows the plug.
I do. He's done the plug it so many at the times. Beginning of every episode, so it's burned into my head. Our show is hidden in plain sight every Monday and Friday. We put out an episode plus a couple bonus episodes on Patreon each week. We are at Hidden in Plain Sight Radio on YouTube, and just Hidden in Plain Sight on all podcast apps. And we are at The Hidden Pod on Twitter. That's our most active social media.
Well, I think that people should definitely need to check it out. It is hysterical. I would fully expect for you guys to be thrown off of YouTube probably by the end of the day.
We are shocked it hasn't happened.
I got genuinely shocked.
you guys are talking about well, you're talking about the real news, as far as I'm concerned, the stuff that needs to be investigated. David Wilcock, Jack Murphy, Gary Spivey, Bobby Hemmett, Carrie Cassidy, this whole band of retards over at Gaia. This is just, I mean, look, if you don't want to be picked on, don't make yourself, don't be these people. Don't act. Yeah, like,
don't record it.
Don't record it, right? If you don't want your insanity mocked, don't put a microphone in front of your face.
Yes, don't paint a target on your back and expect us not to throw some darts at it.
But if you are interested in watching this stuff, then you can follow their shows. I would definitely suggest signing up for their Patreon, help a brother out. And if you like this show, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions, and you can check out my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Guys, you're the best. Thank you so much. We'll have you back on soon.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
It's a pleasure.
All right, guys. Everybody take care. We'll talk to you later. We'll be right back.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.